All right, this is it. My name's Jeff Kay, and you are listening to episode 86 of the world-famous West Virginia Surf Report podcast. Now that I'm in this going to the doctor mode, which I was forced into by my wife, Tony, who says, you know, when are you going to act like an adult? You know, she takes that approach. So you have responsibilities and all this. And then I get shamed into it, pressured. I mean, there's a great pressure. And so I did all this stuff. And now I went through the first round. And now I'm into the second round, the follow-up appointments, right? I had one on Friday. That was with my medical doctor. And, I admit that I'm a neurotic. I blow things way out of proportion. I understand that because people go to the doctor all the time. My parents go every 6 months, which is, I find to be, I'm glad they do, I guess. But for me, that seems... I mean, that thing would roll around. I feel like I was there all the time, 6 months. So anyway, I realize that I'm blowing things way out of proportion. But I was shitting the proverbial brick, just leading up to this. I mean, I knew the first appointment was probably going to be a slam dunk, although you never know. I mean, you never know what's going to happen when you go in there, So I was nervous on the first one as well, but the second one, after they've had my blood, and they requested a long, giant list of tests on my blood, my essence, it's like any of these could send me. I mentioned this before. I mean, if any of these numbers are off, it could launch me into a long odyssey of tests and procedures, just down some mysterious murky road that the whole thing just scares me to death. I mean, I mentioned it many times recently that I hate all things medical. It terrifies me, and whatever, you can think what you want. But anyway, so I went into this thing on Friday, nervous. Shitting bricks. So I go over there and I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm like sweating. I'm sitting in the waiting room. Well, first of all, I go in and she goes, name. So I tell her, she's like, oh yes, yes. Yeah. It felt like she changed her demeanor. I was like, I don't know what's going on here. She's like, oh yes. Yes. You're with the, doctor, she mentioned the guy's name, and she goes, just have a seat and we'll be right. Well, she like went from name to, oh yeah, oh yes, whew. It's gonna be a tough one. So I'm like reading shit into that, I'm like, this is not good. She knows about the bad news it's gonna be delivered to me, and she's like being nice. So nobody's not, this is northeastern Pennsylvania. If somebody's being nice, there's an ulterior motive. There's something going on, something out of the norm, or maybe there's some kind of mental illness. I don't know. There's a list. In this case, I decided that she was in on it, and she knew what the bad news was going to be delivered to me in a few minutes, and she was kind of empathetic and being nice to me. So anyway, so I'm sitting in there. The place is packed out. There's like all kinds of people in there. That sucks. I mean, I assume every one of them's sick. Every one of them's got something. Probably got this coronavirus or something. And I try to find a seat as far away from humanity as I can. And I sit down and, people are like talking to each other. It's like they're like, I don't know. When they go to the doctor, it feels like they're like, I don't know, it's like a community, you know? I don't know if they view this as like their social, this is their social hour or whatever. I don't know, but you can count me out of that shit. I'm not talking any of them. I just sit down and look at my phone. And eventually, a woman steps through a door and says, "Jeffrey?" Like, here we go. This is how it starts. So I take the walk in there. Felt like, you know, when I used to get summoned to the principal's office for some kind of horrible news. Not news. I mean, I get to the principal's office and I get told, you know, how things are going to turn bad for you. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. So I go in there. She weighs me. I avert my eyes because I don't want to see the number. And she goes, she takes me to a little examining room. And she goes, "Hop up on the table." I'm like, "Hop?" My hopping days are long gone. There's no hopping, you know. So I gingerly climb up on the table, hoist my hams up there on the crinkle paper. She does my blood pressure. It's sky high. I mean, who's surprised about this? I'm about ready to soil myself, you know? So anyway, she goes, "That's, you know, your blood pressure's high." I'm like, "All right, well," I don't know why anybody would be surprised by that. So she goes, "The doctor will be in a minute, and just relax." I said, "Do I have to stay up here, or can I sit over in that chair?" She goes, "Oh, by no means, you can sit wherever you'd like." I'm like, here we go. That's another sign. You know, she's in on it too. They all know. She's being nice to me too. So I climbed down from that crinkle table and I sat in a chair and I'm like, you know, I don't know. I prepared for a long wait because I've been there before. It's been a few years, but and I've been there before. And you sit and wait and wait and wait. The frickin', you know, the waiting room was packed. You know, so I was prepared. And by that point, I'd probably have a full stroke because, you know, I'm gonna sit there and just come up with all these ideas in my head, all these different. I'm very creative when it comes to like what could possibly happen, the terrible stuff that they're going to tell me, you know, very creative. So I'm sitting there in the chair, looking at my phone, trying to take my mind off of the thing. And, so the doctor, so this time I'm going to see the real doctor. Last time I saw a physician's assistant, also known as a PA, they're like, do you mind seeing a PA? And for a second, I'm like, what the hell's that? I don't know what the physician. Yeah, I don't care. I mean, I can see the receptionist. I don't care. So last time I was in there, it was the same situation. Except this time they said the doctor will be in to see you. Last time they said, I don't know, Jimmy will be in. Like, Jimmy? All right, anyway, I don't know if that was his name, but anyway. So the real doctor's coming in this time. He's going to go over my tests, all the blood tests. And this is where it starts. This is how the odyssey begins. So I'm sitting there looking at my phone. Even when I was a kid, like when I was stressed out, I'd like try to think about baseball and stuff. You know, I know it's a cliche. People use it for other things too, right? But anyway, so I'm reading. I'm on like The Athletic. You know, I'm on the Athletic tab, reading baseball articles, and he comes hard charging in. It's the actual doctor, you know, and I was kind of disappointed he didn't say, "Hey, man," but he didn't. He just said, "Hey, how you been?" You know, he shook my hand, and then he didn't go over there like the other guy, Jimmy or Joey or whatever the hell his name was. He also shook my hand, and immediately walked right over to the sink and washed his hand. Like he shook my hand and then washed his hand, like, within, like, 2 seconds. Well, I found that to be, I took great offense. But anyway, he shook my hand and rolled with it, you know. And so he said, "How you feeling?" I said, "Feel good." And he goes, "Well, all your clinicals look great." I said, yeah, they do. I'm proud about my clinicals. He goes, no, I'm serious. He goes, every number is right where it's supposed to be. I said, holy shit. You know, I'm like a huge weight lifted off my shoulders. He started listing them. He said, prostate. I said, yeah, now we're talking. You know, if that number's out of whack, we're talking about a very specific odyssey. But so liver, kidneys, sugar, cholesterol, everything. The only thing that's out of whack is my blood pressure. He said, everything else looks fantastic. I'm like, oh my God, thank God. Thank you. You know, like it's like a huge weight lifted. And so they took my blood pressure again, and it was way lower. Go figure. You know, it dropped like 20 points, the top number. Dropped like 20 points. Go figure. He goes, still a little, it's a little too high for my liking. I said, well, you know what? I said, part of the problem with that first go-round is the fact that they're showing the view out in the waiting room. And he thought that was funny. He goes, you're preaching to the choir, buddy. He goes, I hate that shit. I said, yeah. He goes, I work at some clinic. I don't remember. He said, I work at a clinic on Thursdays, and it's a situation where I can hear the TV in the waiting room, you know. He goes, I don't like to be this kind of guy. I don't like to be demanding or anything. But when I tell them, when I'm in the building, the view cannot be on. The guy had strong opinions about the view as well. So anyway, he goes, well, I apologize for that. No wonder. I mean, my God, you know, that'll do it to anybody. I said, yeah. So anyway, he wants to monkey around with my blood pressure medication. Everything else looked great, though. And he wants to see me in a month, so another follow-up. See? This will be the third visit. So 30 days, I have to go back and see him again. But that, ooh, wait a minute. I forgot. There is one thing hanging over my head, the ship box. He's like, I thought we set you up with a ship box. He's like looking through his files. Didn't we see? No, he didn't say that. He said, didn't we set you up with one of those? And I said, yeah, but I was kind of, I'm a poop procrastinator. He's like, that's all right, you know. Whenever the results come in, we'll get them, you know. Guy was really cool. So I guess I still have that hanging over my head. So the next time I go in, he's just going to check my blood pressure and see if the medication, the tweak that he did to the medication is having moving the needle in the right direction. So that's I felt that was a win. I'd like to get the blood pressure under control, obviously. That's not good, but everything else looked good. So that was a weight lifted. I viewed that as a win. And then on Monday, I had to go do a follow-up with the eye doctor, Ted Knight. I had to go see Ted Knight again. So this one aggravated me, you know, because, the Friday one I was stressed out about. And, I was, like, thinking about it days in advance, you know. I was, like, every time I'd think about it, it'd be one of those things where, like, oh, God, you know. And then I got that in the rearview mirror. And then on Monday, I got to do the same thing. Although this one, I mean, he just wants to check my contact lenses. So he ordered me new contacts. He wanted to make sure that they're fit. You know, the fit is, you know, all that stuff. So that's fine. Whatever. I mean, there's nothing really to worry about with this one. So this is just an aggravation. I don't want to go back over there. I'm like, I got to do a podcast, you know. You know, I got stuff to do, you know. And but Tony's like, well, if you feel that, you know, I was like ranting about it. I was like, I want to go over. This is bullshit, you know. You start this and it just takes over your life. And she's like, you're ridiculous, you know. And she goes, well, just cancel it then. I said, I'm not canceling it, you know. I'm not that, you know. Everybody else in this family cancels shit. I'm not a canceler, you know. I'm going to go through with it. But that doesn't mean that I don't have the right to bitch about it, you know. So I went over there, and I was like, I'm already keyed up, you know. And I went in there, and they go, this is just, so there's this, I don't know, it's a very complicated thing. They have all these multiple desks. That you, I don't know what they are. One of them says check-in, so I go over to the check-in. She goes, this is just a contact fitting, right? I said, yeah. Well, you have to go to that other desk down the way. I'm like, how am I supposed to know that? You know, God, I mean, how am I supposed to? Just because she knows it, she expects everybody else. I said, all right. So I go down there, and they're like, oh, no, you don't go here. Go to that window down the hall. I'm like, oh. So I go down there, and, you know, so they set me up with this. I mean, they act like it's like surgery or something. You know, they put me in this room. They're like, you can scrub in over there. There's a sink. There's like soap, you know, various soaps, you know. Like, I don't need to wash my hands. God, you know, I don't need to scrub in, really. I'm just putting contacts in my eyes. I do that like every day, you know. So I sat down in front of the big mirror. It's all well lit, you know. It's like a surgery, you know. You're like you're doing surgery or something. So I popped them in. Took me like, you know, 1 second. And she was like, done already? Wow, okay. Well, just go down to the waiting room down at the end of the hall, and somebody will be with you. So I go down there, and I'm already, you know, I'm irritated. And I notice I can't see very well. I don't know if it's just because they're brand new, and I don't know. Can't see very well, especially can't see my phone, you know. I can see better far away than I can up close. But even the far away is not that great, you know. So I guess this just doesn't feel, you know. So I figure, well, whatever, you know, it'll get better. I'll just get used to them and whatever. So I go down there, I sit down there, and I'm waiting and waiting. And, you know, at some point I just get up and I'm starting pacing around. I'm like, oh, this is making me insane, you know. I mean, there's like, I'm just sitting out there, you know, and I got stuff to do. I don't want to be here, and I know everybody, and it feels like everybody goes there just to talk, you know. And there's like some woman. I could hear some woman talking behind a door, like right where we're sitting, talking about some. Her nephew got injured with a pallet jack, you know, accident, you know. And I don't know. I mean, I think people view these. I think they view this as a major part of their social activity. It's like a social part of their life. They go in there and they talk to these doctors about. They download all this information about their lives. It has nothing to do with their eyes or anything. And it's making me insane. I'm like pacing around, sighing, you know. And finally, some guy says, Jeffrey? I'm like, I don't know this Jeffrey business. And he takes me into a room, an exam room, and I'm sitting there. And it's like, here we go. I mean, this is just phase two. This is phase two of the thing. He's like, how do those new contacts feel? I said, not great. And I said, they're fine, I guess. Far away, much better than the up close. But even the far away, not great. He goes, huh, we'll have to take a look at that. So I sit down in the, you know, the exam chair, and I prepare for a long wait. And in comes Ted Knight, you know. He's like, how you been? I said, good. You know, I don't know. I'm not very, very good in the chit-chat department. And he starts doing my eye exam. He's like, this is not good. So these things are not even close. I said, I thought maybe I just hadn't got used to them yet. He goes, no, these things are not right. He goes, these are not correct. And he goes, I don't even want you wearing these. And I said, all right, well, what's that mean? He goes, I'm going to have to reorder because these are way off. I said, that means I got to come back over here again, do this again. Well, sorry, but yeah. I'm like, all right. So why is it wrong? You know, I mean, I was just over there. The guy did like an in-depth exam on my eyes, like spinning those lenses round and round. And, you know, why is it wrong? I don't know. I didn't ask him that. That would be like an insult, you know. But that's what I'm thinking, you know. Like, why? How did you screw this up, buddy? I blame him. I blame Ted Knight, you know. So I took those things in there, and the woman goes, "You just want to take these?" I said, "No, I don't. You know, what would I do with contact lenses that don't work? You know, what? She goes, "You can take them if you want. We're just going to throw them away." Those things must cost like cents, you know, like 5 cents or something. I mean, it's like toss them in the trash or something. I said, "I don't need them." So I don't want them getting mixed up with the real ones, you know. So now I gotta do the whole. Oh, by the way, I forgot about this. All right, so when I'm sitting in there after they announce Jeffrey, after the guy walks into the room and just yells Jeffrey, he puts me in that exam room, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking straight out the door. The chair is facing straight out the door. And there's a woman sitting out there, and she's talking to some other woman. I can't see the other woman. I can only see one woman the way I'm situated. And she's just going on and on and on, just pontificating, just telling us all these, you know. And she's like, she goes, over there by Morgan Ave, where Morgan Ave crosses Kielbasa Street or whatever. You know, over there by the, across from the old napkin factory or something. Like all this, like, homespun, down-home, local shit. And I'm like, it's, you know, she's just, like, talking and talking and talking. Just, I told you about people that get on conference calls, and it's just an avalanche of words. Well, this woman was doing that. I didn't even hear the other woman say a word. This woman was, like, just talking and talking. You know, over there by the axe handle factory. It's like, what the hell's that? And then she's like, then she started in on this thing, and it took me a couple times to hone in on this, but she was like, she would say, "Yepper," that's right, "Yepper," "Yepper," like over and over again. She must have said it 10 times, and I'm not exaggerating. Like she would be sitting there talking, she would talk, pause. And they're like, so nobody's talking. It's like it's complete silence for a couple beats. And she would just say, "Yepper," and then start talking again. It's like, what the? And so I'm sitting there like seething with anger. "Yepper." It's like, this woman is insane. You know, with the axe handles and the napkin factories. And the Ave, the Murray Ave, or whatever the hell, I don't know. And so I'm seething with anger. So this thing, so now I got to do it again. So in both cases, there's going to be a third visit. Do you see the way this works? Do you understand why I don't, you know, why it bugs me? So I'm going to have to go over there. I'm going to have to go see the MD. I mean, I guess if I don't hear anything about that shit box, that I should be, you know, fairly assured that I'm not going to get any bad news about that. And that'll just be, they'll just take my blood pressure and hopefully it'll be good. And, you know, I won't be cranked up when I go, I won't be as cranked up when I go back there. So hopefully that'll be good. And this eye doctor thing, I mean, there's nothing to worry about other than it irritates me, you know. So I don't know how the guy screwed up. Was it him or was it the clinic, where they make these things? I don't know. I don't have no idea. The guy didn't say. The fact that he didn't blame it on the lab or whatever makes me think it was him. What do I know? But I got to go back for a third time on both ends of that deal. So anyway, that irritates me. It feels like I've been bitching through the whole entire through this entire episode, but I got more bitching to do, and that it's time.
Jeff K's Whistle Dick of the Week.
You know, it really blackens my salmon. You know, it's like when somebody's giving you directions, or more egregiously, worse, is when you have GPS, like Google Maps or whatever. You're pulling out of a parking lot or something, and the thing says travel northeast on, you know, Carnation or whatever. what the hell's northeast? How am I supposed to know what northeast is? I mean, I have no idea. Whenever it says that, I just go one way. I just go in a direction that I feel is the right way. And it always says recalculating or whatever, you know, or it makes that noise. It makes that disapproving noise where it's like having to recalculate the whole thing, you know. It's like, how am I supposed to know what southwest is, you know? I mean, what am I, Copernicus? I mean, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. I mean, I can tell you what northeast, south, and west, you know, north, south, east, and west is on a map when I'm looking at a map. But I'm driving my car. I have no idea. I mean, I have no idea. Am I wrong? Do most people know? I mean, I don't know. I mean, the thing says travel. Like, there's that place where I get car repairs. That garage, you know. When you pull out of there, it always says, travel, I don't know, northeast, I think. Look, I don't know what that means. That irritates me, you know. How about just saying, turn left, you know? I don't understand the northeast. I mean, I have to have a compass. Remember how old people used to have back in the, I don't know, seems like back in the 70s, a lot of people had compasses on their dashboard. And I used to, I mean, I was confused and I would mock it, both. I would be like, why do you need that? Now I understand. Of course, there was no GPS back then, so I don't know what they were doing. Who knows? Maybe I should get one of those compasses, like, you know, nailed into my dashboard, you know? Anyway, you northeast people, you bad direction givers, you compass people, you are the undisputed whistle dick of the week. All right, we're at the end of this thing. If you want two of these, and I mean, after this one, I mean, how could you not? I mean, later in the week, I'm going to do another one. You won't be able to hear it unless you're a patron over at patreon.com. Everybody who's a patron at the $4 level or more, will be able to hear the later in the week episode, which is similar to this one, you know. If you want to be one of those people, one of the VIPs, you can be welcome to the VIP lounge. That's what we say at the beginning of some of the episodes. If you want to be one of the people, one of the rare people in the world that can hear those later in the week Patreon episodes, all you have to do is sign up for I turned that phone off. I literally turned it off. This thing is like fights its way off. It fights its way off of my phone. Anyway, if you want to be one of the folks, the rare, one of the few people in the world that gets to hear that later in the week Patreon episode, head on over to patreon.com/JeffK. That's patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4 or more monthly donation. You can do it for any amount. You can do it for less, but you won't get the extra episode unless it's $4. But you can do $4. That'll unlock the audio. You'll get all the extra episodes, including the ones that I've already recorded, and all the new ones as they're released. It's pretty kick-ass. A lot of podcasts do this, but they do like once a month, or they do it once in a while. I do it every single week, and I'm consistent with it. And that's something you need to check out over at patreon.com/JeffK. Do it today. Also, we have the hotline, 570-290-8151. Call it 24 hours a day. You know, 23. Let's say call it 23 hours a day. I don't know. Okay, like, let's see, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, not a good time to call. Between 3 and 4, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just babbling nonsense. Call it 24 hours a day. 570-290-8151. Leave a message, make a comment, whatever you want to do, and I'll probably, almost certainly, use it in a future episode. So if you want to be a part of the show, you can do it. We have ways. It's all set up. Just waiting for you to call. All right. Thank you guys for listening to this. I hope you enjoyed it. I will be back at the end of the week over on Patreon. Until then, you guys have yourselves a fine, fine week. I'll see ya. Bye. You know, it really blackens my salmon.